Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. They produced some of the finest talent in Atlanta sports radio history.
Get over it!
Covered the best teams this city has to offer.
Going to bed and taking a nap.
And now, it's time to take their turn at the mic.
Wah, 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 wah.
It's time for The Other Side of the Glass with Chris Thomas on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Chris.
Oh, what's up, Atlanta? It is time for The Other Side of the Glass. Mike, the engineer, I am getting a little bit of a double back right now. So if we could just work on that, I will power through. We have a short segment here anyway. I'll be taking a break in just a couple of minutes. And then we'll really get this thing started with our buddy Joe DeLeon of the Believe Podcast Network. He will break down the Ohio State Buckeyes versus the Notre Dame Fighting Irish in the college football national championship. I had a heck of a time, if you were listening to me on Saturday, navigating our way through the Georgia World Congress Center. Our buddy Tinker is here in the house, and he's laughing because he knows. It felt like a big bear fell on me by the time I got to Building A of the Georgia World Congress Center. So here's the deal. I am here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, and we are here until 7:30. But if you're looking to watch the game here, have no fear, because our buddy Bo, Squidbilly, Morgan, will be here until 9 o'clock. So if you want a picture with the meat man, tonight is your opportunity to do so right here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. My overall thoughts before we have to catch a quick break, they haven't changed, although the line has. OSU is now -9. That's changed because it was all the way down to 7.5 at one point. Now it's all the way back up to 9. So some late money coming in, we see, favoring the Ohio State Buckeyes. Mike, it is fixed. We are rocking and rolling and ready to go here. That was fun. The first couple of minutes, it was like I'd say something and then I'd hear it all over again. It's all good. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Chris Thomas again with you until 7:30. We are here to preview the national championship coming up again in less than 10 minutes. Our buddy Joe DeLeon from the Believe Network is going to join us for a full breakdown. Plus, we'll get his thoughts. He covers both NFL and college football and what we saw this weekend. Chiefs and Bills again. What is this, part 7 that they're going to be meeting up for in the AFC Championship game? And then we get the Eagles and the Commanders in what should be a really, really good game. That running game for the Eagles is something else, right? Saquon Barkley, that might go down as one of the most egregious decisions an NFL team has ever made, with the New York Giants letting that guy walk. Another 200-plus yard performance for him yesterday, so we'll break all that down with Joe DeLeon coming up in a little bit. And then to close out the show, guys and gals, I want to talk to you because, you know, your boy Turtle, he needs some commiserate people in his circle right now. And you guys know that I love talking with you at 404-726-0929. And we need to talk tonight, because this Jeff Ulbrich thing, man, if you guys missed it, he's been hired as the new DC. It's just not sitting pretty with me, and it has very little to do with him as a defensive coordinator, because he was very successful in New York, and I think you're parsing it, you're splitting hairs, whatever analogy you want to use when you talk about Wink Martindale, Lou Anarumo, who got a new job today. We'll fill you in on that coming up. All the top guys, I don't think you could have gone wrong. Whether it was Lou Anarumo, Wink Martindale, or Steve Wilks, those would have been the guys for me. I know a lot of people wanted them to interview Dennis Allen. They didn't. I don't know why. I haven't seen any reporting as to that. But any of those guys, you couldn't have gone wrong. If you've been listening to me, you know my guy was Steve Wilks. And the reason I really wanted him to join the Atlanta Falcons was because of his stability and his ability to come in here and steady a ship that, quite frankly, was sinking. And quite frankly, had four abysmal performances this season that needed to be corrected. And I thought he was the guy that could come in here and make the most out of what the Falcons have on their roster. But they decide to go with Jeff Ulbrich. And in my opinion, it's the safe, familiar hire. I had a tweet that went viral a couple of days ago. And I got an absolute metric ton of reaction to. And it was simple, and I'll read it to you right now, and you can give me your thoughts if you haven't commented on it yet at 404-726-0929, or hit me up on Twitter at CThomasRadio, and it read simply this, and these are my thoughts about the Jeff Ulbrich hire sort of encapsulated into one freshly packed tweet. The Falcons go with the safe, comfortable, and familiar pick in Jeff Ulbrich. They had an opportunity to bring in a fresh voice with a fresh set of eyes and no ties to the organization, but instead they took the path of least resistance. And that's exactly how I feel. Because Jeff Ulbrich is going to come in here and he's going to, what's the C word? Everybody say it with me. Collaboration with the Atlanta Falcons. That's the big word. So you know that Jeff Ulbrich is going to come right in here, and him and Terry Fontenot and Arthur Blank and Raheem Morris, they be collaborating, and you know that that's what's going to happen. And path of least resistance, there will be none. Jeff Ulbrich will come in here. He will capitulate. He will work with and not against. And guys, having a dissenting voice in the room for this Atlanta Falcons team, not a bad thing, because look at the way the season ended. I'd like somebody to come in here and tell me what went wrong. I'd like somebody to come in here and tell me how we fix this thing. And I just think there's going to be a little bit too much yes and with Jeff Ulbrich, as opposed to maybe, Raheem, we do this a little bit differently. That's my view from the 1,000 feet, but we'll take your calls on it at 404-726-0929. But tonight, what we are all here for at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, where the only thing colder than the beer at 26.2 degrees Fahrenheit is the temperature outside, because it is absolutely brick. So come on in here and warm up, get yourself a nice brew, and watch the game with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We break the game down with Joe DeLeon next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. The beer is 28 degrees, and it's just about that outside as well. So make sure if you're outside, be careful, be weather aware, as they like to say. I know a lot of schools are getting postponed tomorrow, so a little out of school day and a little work from home day for all the teachers out there. I know, shout out to my girlfriend Kiera, who's a kindergarten teacher. She texted me, and it was like it's Christmas Day all over again. We get off because of the weather, because it's so cold. I'm like, yeah, you know, we'll still be on the air here on 92.9 The Game, so no off days for us, because we got to bring you all the sports news, and it's a huge day. We're going to have the national championship to talk about. We got Falcons news. Hawks had a big game today. We'll get into all that as well. But right now, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our good buddy Joe DeLeon of the Believe Podcast Network. Covers both the pro game and the college game as well. And we'll get into both with Joe. Joe, first of all, appreciate the time on a national championship evening. How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm juiced up for this game to kick off. It feels like it's been such a long day waiting for this game to come around, but couldn't be more excited for the culmination for what's been an amazing season.
I know, and I think it's interesting because it fell on a holiday, so even though it's only a 7:30 Eastern time for the game to start, it still feels like it's a 10 o'clock tip, as you said. Let's start, Joe, with the spread, because now it's all the way up to 9, Ohio State. Do you feel like that's too big of a number? Do you feel like Ohio State's really that much better than Notre Dame?
Absolutely. I think that is way too big of a number, to your first point. Not that I think that Ohio State is that good. They're certainly very talented, and they have a tremendous roster. They are the most loaded team front to back in the country this year. They've got premier players at every spot that they need to win big games. But we've seen at times a little bit of inconsistencies, and we saw against Texas that they came back down to earth. They were on a Death Star-type run where they were just blowing through teams against Tennessee and Oregon since that Michigan loss. But Texas showed us that there's a way to keep them in check. And I think that this Notre Dame team has shown a lot of resilience, that when they've been in these positions, for example, like in the Orange Bowl when they went down by 10 points, when they've been in those spots, they have stared down adversity and they have bounced back. So as much as I think Ohio State has the edge here and that there's a strong chance that they win the ball game, Notre Dame just doesn't feel like the type of team that they're going to take it very lightly. And I also believe that their roster is very talented and has not been given the right respect that they deserve coming into this game.
Do you feel like they're going to be able to run the ball in Ohio State's front?
No, I think that they're going to have issues running the ball. And I think that we need to look back at the past two games during this playoff run, that the ways that they've adjusted in those situations. They haven't had the same level of rushing production, not even close to what they were doing during the regular season when they were playing their weak regular season schedule. But what has separated them and helped them bounce back and helped them stay in games is Riley Leonard's, one, his poise in the pocket and ability to find guys like Jaden Greathouse, like Mitchell Evans, his tight end, like Jordan Faison, who's one of the slot receivers on this team, but also his ability to know when to scramble. It felt like at the beginning of the year when he was having some troubles and when he played his worst game against NIU, he was holding on to the ball way too long. He was trying to do way too much. He was trying to be a pocket passer, which he's not. And during this playoff run, even some of the mistakes that he's had, his biggest plays have come when he's acknowledged, hey, there's a lane opening up, there's pressure bearing down on me, I need to take advantage of this, and I need to get away from pressure in order to pick up a first down. He's accomplished that against two of the best defensive lines in the country, and I think it's something that needs to be monitored closely in this game going up against, as you mentioned, a very, very difficult front to move the ball against.
You're talking about pressure as we're chatting with our buddy Joe DeLeon of the Believe Network, college and pro analyst. Make sure you check him out on social media as well. Which head coach has more pressure on them? Because I feel like the easy answer is Ryan Day, but Marcus Freeman, with this kind of turnaround in this short amount of time, I think he's sort of setting a precedent for excellence that I don't know if it's going to be that easy to repeat if they don't win this one, Joe.
Well, I think that, as you said, the easy answer is Ryan Day, and it's for the biggest reason of what he did during the regular season. They lost early to Oregon, and then they're lost to Michigan, which is a huge no-no. We all know that. Every college football enjoyer knows the importance of winning that game as Ohio State's coach. For him to not get to the Big Ten championship game and for them to still go on this run, if they don't win the national championship, I think that there are going to be a lot of peeved and disappointed Ohio State fans that think that Ryan Day continues to fail to step up and hit and accomplish the big things in front of him, to accomplish the things that great coaches have been able to do in the sport like consistently winning the Big Ten, like consistently competing for national championships. This should be, and I think in the eyes of a lot of Ohio State fans, they believe that this is a very beatable opponent for them. So if they lose to a guy who, Marcus Freeman, has been amazing, they lost to NIU earlier in the year and is in his third year ever as a head coach, I think that would be a huge underperformance. And on Marcus Freeman's side, I don't think there's really no pressure on his shoulders at all. He has been building this team up, and he has completely changed his coaching philosophy, and you've seen it on the sidelines, the energy that he brings now that he wasn't doing before. He has revitalized this team. He's already been a great recruiter. Just getting here right now has, one, made Notre Dame extremely marketable, and then, two, it is going to be in the forefront of the minds of some of the top recruits in future classes. I think that this is really strong positioning for Freeman to use this as a rallying point, even if they lose.
Joe, which Will Howard is, to quote Eminem, will the real Will Howard please stand up? Is he the guy that's had some good games in the past couple, or the regular season quarterback that sort of meandered his way through with a lot of up and down?
Well, I think the biggest key for Will Howard playing his best game is getting Jeremiah Smith involved early. Their best offensive performances have come from Jeremiah Smith and his ability to create after the catch. Texas, where he only had 3 yards off of one reception, we saw there's a very different version of Will Howard, where he's almost turning to go to Jeremiah Smith, sees that he's not there, and then the wheels start to turn and the hesitation starts to happen. The interception that he threw was in Jeremiah Smith's direction, trying to force the ball into a tight contested spot that just wasn't going to be there. I think that Will Howard, he can play to his potential, but Jeremiah Smith's impact in this game is going to be the most telling sign of if Will Howard plays to his ceiling and plays above expectations.
We talked about one running back duo. Let's talk about the other one in Henderson and Judkins for Ohio State. Do you feel like they're going to come on in this game? I feel like as good as those two can be, they might have even in some instances, you could say that they've underperformed.
Well, again, this all comes back to Jeremiah Smith. The tape that I've broken down and I've watched this Ohio State team, the games in which, again, when Jeremiah Smith, Emeka Ogbuka, and the passing game got involved early, it opened up the run game. What has made the run game so dangerous, and it's backwards considering the just general philosophy of what we know with football, Chip Kelly is passing to open up the run. And when the box lightens up because defenses are freaking out because they can't stop right. any of these big chunk pass plays, it opens up Henderson to rip off these long runs. We know that he's a spark plug the minute that he's given a little bit of space. And then we know that Quinshon Judkins can be that bruiser between the tackles when he needs to spell Trevion Henderson. So I think that their performance is really going to be contingent on the passing game, how potent and explosive are they going to be early, and can they get the ball rolling as quickly as possible in order to build up the momentum that has helped them dominate through this playoff stretch.
Going off that, how much do you expect Chip Kelly to be in his bag tonight, pulling out all the stops, or do you expect them, as you just said, to stick to their formula of we're going to beat you down the field and then we're going to try to bludgeon you?
Well, I would hope that they stick to that formula, because the times that we've seen where he and Ryan Day have overcomplicated the game plan, it's been a dagger. I mean, it's been a killer for them. It's one of the craziest things that I've ever seen in my time watching college football, that an offensive coordinator has such a swinging pendulum of outcomes. The Michigan game is the perfect example, where the approach was so just a straight away from what has worked for them that they played down to Michigan's level. They got into a close game and they weren't able to prevail because of playing exactly to Michigan's tone. And there's a lot of similarities to the way that Michigan plays and the way that Notre Dame plays, and Notre Dame does it at a higher, more successful level. If Chip Kelly comes into this and he's not as creative and as aggressive early, then I would expect that there's a really strong chance that Notre Dame could keep this in striking distance.
Joe, while I got you here, a couple of quick NFL questions. What'd you make of this weekend's games? Do you feel like any of the results were surprising, maybe the Lions exiting early, or just how strong Saquon Barkley continues to be in an Eagles uniform?
Yeah, the biggest takeaway for me is that Jaden Daniels is so unbelievably special. I regret ever doubting him, which was forever ago. It was before his Heisman season. But the way that he has just been so clutch for this Commanders team has been just jaw-dropping to watch. He is the clutchest and, frankly, the best rookie quarterback that I've ever seen, and I think many people can agree that in these really important moments that he's been able to make these huge plays. And then a team that's around him that's old and really lacks premier players at receiver outside of Terry McLaurin, the way that he's able to elevate his teammates is unlike anything that I've seen with rookies. The rookies that we know that have gotten to conference championship games, Mark Sanchez, Brock Purdy, Ben Roethlisberger, it's been because they've been able to lean on their defenses. That is not the case. Their defense is very shaky and inconsistent, as we saw in that game with all the big plays that they allowed. But Jaden Daniels will keep them in any game that they see. And going up against the Eagles, I'm really, really just juiced up to see what happens for that matchup, because can Jaden Daniels pull off some of the late-game magic that he did the last time that they played? It could make for some really great theater.
All right, Joe, appreciate the time as always. Always appreciate your insight. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk after the game and see what we're looking at for 2025.
Of course. Thanks for having me as always.
All right, that is our good buddy Joe DeLeon. Make sure you check him out on the Believe Network, both college and pro analyst. One of my favorite guests to talk to. Have him on my weekend shows all the time. He's been with us all season long. All right, now I want to talk to y'all. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. The question's simple. I mean, how are we feeling about this Jeff Ulbrich hire? You going to give it a chance, or do you think it was the wrong move? I don't like it. I just think it's safe. I think it's familiar. I think it's a move that allows you to drift back into your comfort zone with familiar voices and faces, and I don't think that's what the Falcons need right now. With the way that your season ended, with all the promise that you had, you need a fresh set of eyes and a fresh voice to come in and get in Raheem's ear and say, hey, you know what? I was looking at this film. I think that's why that didn't work. Because I think when Jeff Ulbrich says that with the relationship that he has with Raheem Morris, I think it takes on a different meaning when it's somebody from the outside. That's why I wanted Steve Wilks or Wink Martindale, Lou Anarumo. My guy was Wilks, but any of those three would have been A-OK in my book. But they go with Ulbrich, and we'll have to see. But what do you guys think? 404-726-0929. Going to take your calls next. How are we feeling about Ulbrich coming in as the D.C.? Chris Thomas with you till 7:30. National championship game live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Come get a cold brew and hang out with your boy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in less than 20 minutes, we'll let you hear from some of the key names coming up in this game tonight. Marcus Freeman, Riley Leonard, Chip Kelly, Ryan Day, they're all speaking, and we'll let you hear what they had to say coming up about the national championship game. But right now we're taking your calls at 404-726-0929. This is my first chance to talk to y'all since Jeff Ulbrich has been hired as the DC in Atlanta. I am not a fan of the hiring. The last thing the Falcons need right now is more groupthink, is more people coming in with familiar ties to the organization, are more people coming in that Raheem Morris could use as a confidant, could use as, you know, a shoulder to lean on in times of adversity. I think the Falcons need the opposite of that right now. I think they need somebody that's going to come in with a fresh set of eyes, fresh set of ears, looking at this thing from a different perspective. Looking at it from a lens of somebody who watched this team from the outside and not saying, you know, if a snap went different here, if a snap went different there, the results could have been different. No, look at it from a pragmatic, factual approach and say, you know, these are our deficiencies. This is what we need to work on as an organization. I'm not saying Jeff Ulbrich won't do that. I think he will. But I think when you have personal relationships and you've been in the building before, it's a lot easier to view things and skew things a certain way to make it more palatable. And that's not what the Falcons need right now. We don't need palatable. We don't need familiar. We don't need comfortable. They need challenging. They need results-oriented. They need business strategy-driven and bottom-line-driven. And when you have previous ties to the organization, I'm just not sure if you can entirely commit to that line of thinking. And again, maybe Jeff Ulbrich can. I'm not talking about him specifically. I'm talking about anyone that's in his position, meaning somebody that's been in the building before, knows Raheem Morris intimately, has worked with members of the staff before. Anybody who would represent that figure, that familiar face to the organization, to me, is just not what they needed when they were making this hire. They needed somebody that's going to come in with a 1,000-foot view and say, this is why we gave up 1,000,000 points to the Vikings and the Broncos and the Commanders and the Panthers. And these are the guys on the team that I feel need to be moved on from. And that's a little bit tougher to do when, you know, you're talking to the coach who has familiarity with these players and has tried to develop them under his wing, and you're somebody who he trusts implicitly already. I would rather a defensive coordinator come in here and earn Raheem's trust by saying, this is what I think we need to do on defense, and then making those necessary changes, rather than saying, I already know that we're in simpatico with these levels of thinking, otherwise why make the hire in the first place, especially when it's somebody that you know. So 404-726-0929. That's how I feel about it, because I don't know about y'all. I watched the Denver game. I watched the Minnesota game. I watched the Washington game, and they're in the NFC Championship, by the way. And then I watched the Carolina game. And I don't need to relitigate that. I've harped on that 1,000,000 times over, how unacceptable that was from a defensive standpoint and how woeful and ultimately costing Jimmy Lake his job. But I'm just at a point now where I need as much change as possible. And Jeff Ulbrich represents the least amount of change possible. He represents what's most familiar, the opposite of that, quite frankly. So 404-726-0929. Let's start out with David and Cumming. David, how are we feeling about Ulbrich?
How's it going today, Turtle? How's your Monday going today?
Oh, it's going great. I'm sitting at the bar, got a cold brew, watching some football. What could be wrong?
What can be bad about that? Listen, as far as the Ulbrich hire goes, 50-50, man, it's not bad. It's not good. I will look at it from the context of what were the options that you were really going to get. There are a number of positions that are, quite frankly, in the NFL, a better option for a defensive coordinator this year that's open.
Right.
So are you really going to get a Saleh? Are you really going to get a Wilk? And, I mean, if you actually look at this team, you would be in the playoffs.
Wilkes isn't – they're both not
– with the defense at all.
Hang on. I'll let you finish. Hang on. But both of those guys are not hired, are they?
I don't think they are, but they may not take the job.
No, they're not. They're not. But why not? But if they're not hired yet and you offer them the job, why not?
I think there's some better options for them that if I was a DC, I'd probably take. If I'm being honest about it, because realistically, if you look at this team, that they would be in the playoffs, and it doesn't have anything to do with the defense at all. How many games did we have where we didn't even give up a touchdown? How many games did we blow it by the fact that we couldn't handle timeouts and scheduling? The defense actually, if you only count your defense, you would actually be in the playoffs this year.
Well, let me ask you this.
Again, that's with the team that they have with the actual defensive players. And realistically, you could have the reincarnation of Bill Belichick and Buddy Ryan with the talent, and you might not get a whole lot more out of it because they need some more Jimmys and Joes.
Well, David, hang on. To your point, and then I'll let you finish. The Colts just hired Lou Anarumo as their new defensive coordinator. Which job is better?
Falcons.
Yeah. And yeah. Was it Lou Anarumo? Lou Anarumo was the first guy they interviewed, correct? Or second, after Wink Martindale, right? So he was clearly pretty high on their list. But they went with Ulbrich. You see what I'm saying?
I can't argue with you. Like I said, to me, it's 50-50 mix. Will it be better? I don't know. Will it be worse? Possibly. But it's not something that's super exciting. But frankly, Turtle, what I want to see is some warm bodies that get pulled in on the defensive line that won't take off plays like Judon did.
Right.
Right? I actually want to see a corner that's opposite Terrell. that can cover somebody and shut somebody down. Unless you see that, again, you could pick your DC from the history. And unless you get better talent, it's not going to get super better.
No, David, you're right. Great start to the phone calls at 404-726-0929. Great call. Great call. Can't disagree with you on any of that. The only thing I can disagree with is the philosophy that you started with, is that the Atlanta Falcons chose Jeff Ulbrich as their new defensive coordinator. Last time I checked, Robert Saleh has yet to be hired. Last time I checked, Steve Wilks is not with the team. Unless I missed something in the last 5 minutes, I think I'm pretty good. So 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Those guys are out there, man. Why didn't you hire one of them? Why did you go with the safe guy? Why did you go with the guy that has the most relationship with your head coach? Why did you go with the guy who was least likely to come in with a dissenting voice? I don't know. I don't like the philosophy. I just don't. It doesn't mean it won't work. Doesn't mean the Falcons can't have a top five defense next year. But as we sit right now, looking at it from a bird's eye view, I just feel like there were, quite frankly, better candidates. And there were, quite frankly, candidates that would have came in and not been afraid to say what they really feel. And again, not that Jeff Ulbrich is going to do that. But you know how it is. When your best friend, you guys are going out for the night, and you're getting ready, and he's really excited about his fit or her fit, and they come out from the bathroom and they say, "How do I look?" It's a lot harder to say that. Maybe that shirt's a little too tight. Maybe that dress doesn't really fit you and your color scheme as well as another dress could have. When they're your friend, when you have emotional ties to them, when you care about what they think about what you have to say. If it was a random stranger, you'd be a lot more likely to be more honest than you would your best friend or your girlfriend or your wife coming out of that bathroom with an outfit on that doesn't look quite right. But are you really going to tell them how they look? Or are you going to take the easy way out and say, "You look fine"? That's a lot more likely to happen when you hire a Jeff Ulbrich than when you hire a Steve Wilks or Wink Martindale. 404-726-0929. See, the lines are filling up. Let's go to Jake in East Cobb. Jake, you're up next. What do you think about the Ulbrich hire?
Hey there, Turtle. How you doing?
What's up?
Look, I'm with you. I don't see the vision. I think that Steve Wilks, if I'm taking Steve Wilks in a heartbeat.
Yep.
You know? I think that it's gonna be a lot of safe calls. It's not gonna be a lot of change, which is exactly what we need. I think we should look through the eyes of, like, look what Dan Quinn did in Washington. Look at Washington's offense this season. They came in, they made a big change, and look at them now. I currently think that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Jake. Finish up.
I think that we have the talent on this team to make it so far, but I think with this hire, we're gonna get the same old. And I think that the resume, the pros on Jeff Ulbrich's resume, come from Robert Saleh. I don't think it comes from him.
Yeah, Jake, I appreciate the phone call out in East Cobb at 404-726-0929. We'll never know. But here's what we do know, Jake. When Jeff Ulbrich took over as head coach, the entire team fell apart. It wasn't just the defense. It was everything. Actually, ironically, the only thing that actually didn't was Aaron Rodgers. He actually started to play pretty well. But at the end of the day, that's not fair for us to judge him based off that, so I'm not going to do that. But what I am going to do is judge based off what I know. And I know that Raheem Morris and Jeff Ulbrich are tight. And I know that Jeff Ulbrich's going to come in here and have a shared vision with Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot and Arthur Blank about what they want, because that's how this thing works. Again, I joked around about it. It's the C word. It's collaboration. And I just wish, for once, we were able to see what would happen if you abandon that lane of thinking, if you go outside the box, if you do what's uncomfortable. Because you know what happens when you do things that are uncomfortable? Change happens. Change happens. You think that at the end of the day, Dan Quinn's a perfect example. You think Dan Quinn wanted to sit there and say, hey, Cliff, go do a big dog? That's a risky hire. That's an uncomfortable hire. But you know what it is? A smart hire. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Will in Atlanta. Will.
Because you know what happened.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, Will?
Hey, I mean, the hire does it. As long as he's competent as a defensive coordinator, I don't have an issue with that. But my biggest issue is with the general manager and just the organization at the top. Because at the end of the day, you could bring Rex Ryan in here. You could bring anybody in here. But if you're not drafting the right players on defense and developing that defensive line, you're not going to get anywhere. Like, I'm looking at Philadelphia with all these Georgia players. I'm looking at the opportunity we could have had to get Jalen Carter. We would have helped our defensive line. We wouldn't have had to waste that money on that defensive tackle from New Orleans. Like, it just – we got to get more production out of our draft picks. We got to be able to pick the right players. And as long as we keep picking these Troy Anderson, these guys that we know, that we don't know, and we're hoping that's going to be good. The draft system got to get better, man, in this city, man. This is a players league, and it's a league that's built on your front line. If you're an offensive line, a defensive line, and you don't have that quarterback, you're not going to win this league. So it doesn't matter who the coordinator is. It's got to be some type of new direction in the picking of the players. That's what killed Matt Ryan all them years. They couldn't get defensive players. I mean, we got to do better as an organization at that. So I don't even care about, as long as the defensive coordinator is competent, but we got to do better in this draft and a future draft of picking players.
No, Will, again, 1,000% right. That's why I let you go, because you were rolling. You're 100% right. But this new defensive coordinator's got to cook with the ingredients that he's given. And here's another thing that Will just made me think about. Good call by Will. What if Steve Wilks comes in here and says, you know what? How about instead of the defensive end from Tennessee, let's take the one from Penn State? Because I really feel like that's my guy. Is Jeff Ulbrich going to do that if Terry Fontenot says, this is the guy that we have scouted on our board at position X at number 15, and if he's there, that's what we're going to do. I don't know. That's just another question. I don't know, and we'll never know. But it's just got to make you think. Again, fresh voice, fresh eyes, fresh perspective, a new way to diagnose the collapse at the end of the 2024 season. That's what I need out of my defensive coordinator. 404-726-0929. More of your calls when we get back. Plus, I'll let you hear some of what the guys had to say ahead of tonight's game before we get out of Dodge. Jim, Ramil, Lil, Chris, Diego, you guys are all up first, so stay on hold. We'll get your calls in next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas, Turtle, with you for another 30 minutes, taking you up until what should hopefully be a very, very good matchup between Ohio State and Notre Dame. They say the game will get underway about 7:30, but we all know it really means like 7:47 with the way that these things work. But they'll get you glued on the TV. The teams are out on the field now. I'm seeing Jack Sawyer and his defensive unit getting warmed up for the game. We'll break it down a little bit. I'll give you a final score prediction before we get out of here. We'll give Dom a chance to get one as well at 404-726-0929. Right now, we're taking your calls because this is my first time to react with y'all since Jeff Ulbrich got hired as the new DC of the Atlanta Falcons. Not a fan. Not a fan of the move. I've been echoing my sentiments ever since I heard about it a couple of days ago, put a tweet out that got a lot of response from y'all at C. Thomas Radio. It's just not what this team needs. It's not the direction I was hoping this team would go. It's familiar. It's safe. It's sensible. But that doesn't mean it's going to be bad. Again, please, you know, clock it, save the receipts, whatever you want. Maybe this team turns out to be the second coming of the 2016 defense, and it's not an issue. But before a down is played on the field, you had a chance to bring in some real high-quality veteran defensive coordinator candidates that would have been able to give you an honest and forthright appraisal of what happened last year and what pieces fit and what pieces don't and, you know, what scheme changes needs to be made and everything down to the nuts and bolts and the nitty-gritty of what would turn this defense around. And with Jeff Ulbrich, it's not that he's incapable. That's the thing. It's not that he's incapable of doing that. He ran a very good defense in New York with the Jets. Very good. If you look at the numbers, as we like to say on Dukes and Bell, they're very strong. Some even top five in certain metrics. But when you need to look Raheem Morris in the face, when it's nut-cutting time, as our buddy Carl Deuce likes to say, are you going to be able to deliver the good word or the bad news? I don't know. I don't know. That's the thing. When it comes to interpersonal relationships and coaching and all that kind of stuff, what are the blurred lines? What are they? Do they exist? Maybe not. Maybe all of this is for naught. Maybe Jeff Ulbrich comes in here and he says, hey, I'm a straight shooter. Coach, I'm going to give it to you just like it needs to be done, and I'm going to give you the proper analysis, and I'm going to give you, you know, my honest appraisal, and you know, we're going to turn this thing around. That's the hope. That's what I hope happens. But I just know that there wouldn't have even have been a chance of anything else happening if you hired a guy like Steve Wilks, who's no nonsense. Jeff Ulbrich is also no nonsense, by the way. But Steve Wilks is no nonsense. And more importantly, he doesn't care about feelings. He's not going to come in. Wink Martindale, one of Lou Anarumo, who, by the way, is now hired in Chicago. He's not going to come in here and care about your feelings or care about relationships or care about a guy's contract status, and you know. And my whole thing, if there is even a 1% chance of that happening with Jeff Ulbrich, why? Why even put yourself in that position? Why do that? When there were candidates, if there were no other candidates available, I guess. But there were plenty of highly qualified candidates. Some of you can argue Wink Martindale is one of the more successful defensive coaches in the league that the league's ever seen. A highly respected veteran coach. Now, to me, I don't like the way things ended in New York. I don't know if I want to bring that to Atlanta. I don't know if I want to bring what happened with Jeff in New York to Atlanta either. I mentioned it's not fair to do that, but, I mean, the team kind of did collapse under his watch. It is what it is. Not that that matters with him being the defensive coach. So we gotta be fair. 404-726-0929. Jim is in Decatur where it's greater. Jim, what do you think?
Well, in Dan Quinn's first bad year, we started 1-7, and then we brought it over Raheem Morris to be assistant head coach, and I think also DC, and Jeff Ulbrich was right beneath him. And all of a sudden, we went 6-2. And I thought, so on the one hand, maybe this will work. But then later, when I was on hold, you said, well, they haven't even missed. They could have had Robert Sala or Anarumo. I thought, I got a little less confident after I heard that. But could have talked to those guys. But I'll be cautiously optimistic, but I'm going to keep your words in mind.
No, so, I appreciate it. And I think cautiously optimistic is more than fair. More than fair. Jeff Ulbrich, again, he's a good coach. That's not the issue for me, anyway. Might be for you. I mean, was he the best coach available? I would also argue no, he was not. Steve Wilks and Wink Martindale, I would take over him, just based on their track record and their history in the league. But is he the worst coach out there? Is he a neophyte like they had with Jimmy Lake? No. So, fine. But did you really get the best candidate? Really? Like, when you have an honest moment for yourself, I don't think so. I think there were a couple more guys that were more highly qualified. And if that's the case, and one of them goes on to do great things next year, and the Falcons' defense isn't what it needs to be again, I don't want to have this conversation again this time next year, guys. 404-726-0929. Chris is in the A. Chris.
Come on, man.
Yeah, what's
up? Leo. It's Leo.
Oh, Leo. What's up, Leo? Go ahead.
Not much, but I think this is more of a self-preservation move. And I say that especially because of what we see with a fan base and even our station sometimes almost ready to get rid of Raheem Morris. And I've been critical of Raheem because he doesn't want to – he'd rather be called Ra than Raheem. But I think when you've got a Wilt that has had some success as a head coaching hire, I think he wanted less intimidation. I think he'd be better having a better defense, because if that defense is bad again this year, he's the one that's going to take the fall. But what he's probably not going to do is bring someone in, Ulbrich notwithstanding, that might be able to come in and take an interim job if we decide that after 2 years, Raheem just isn't it. That's my kind of thoughts on it, bro.
No, I appreciate the phone call at 404-726-0929. But you can't coach that way, right? You can't hire that way. You can't react that way. You can't put yourself in a position to make decisions that way, because that doesn't work. You got to go in with everything with a clear head and try to make the best decisions possible for your franchise. If you're thinking about your job status or your coach's job status or 2027, you're not going to win. So while I tend to agree that might have had some factor in the decision, it can't be a main reason. But it could be in the back of your mind. I'm not saying that it's not, Leo. But when you ultimately pull the trigger and put the pen to paper and have your new DC sign on the dotted line, that can't be going into your decision-making. 404-726-0929. Diego's up next. Diego, what do you think?
Hey, good evening. First-time caller here.
Yes, sir.
I don't have a lot of expectations. I'm not even mad. I'm just frustrated. I just feel like we're just wasting everybody's time here. The fans, Arthur Blank's, because I felt this way when we hired Raheem, because we had both of them in the building back in, 2020?
Yeah.
Why, what did they say or what did they change now that we have given them these positions when we had them in the building?
Well, Diego, are you the same person you were 4 years ago?
Maybe not.
Right. So that's, you got to be fair in that regard, right?
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's the same thing, and I appreciate the phone call. When they're looking at Jeff Ulbrich, they're looking at, well, that's not the same guy that was here in 2016. But we just got to see your body of work in New York, and it wasn't bad. It was good. But again, that's not what I'm talking about. I think he's a good coach. I think all of the final – if I were to list the final candidates that I would have chosen from, it would have been Steve Wilks, it would have been Wink Martindale, and it would have been Lou Anarumo. Those are all good coaches. You had a plethora of good coaches to choose from, right? So that's not the issue. The issue is what else? The issue is baggage is not the right word, because I don't think it's all negative. But the extra things on the side that come with bringing back a Jeff Ulbrich, there's a lot of them. And in my opinion, I don't want even a 1% chance of them influencing roster decisions, coaching decisions, acquiescing to demands of higher-ups. Like, that's not what the Falcons need. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. They need cold water thrown on them. They need a wake-up call. They need that alarm going off at 5 a.m. that you don't want to wake up to. That's what they need. And I don't think bringing in Jeff Ulbrich does that for this franchise. All right, one more before we break. Let's go to Sam in Atlanta. Sam.
What's up, Turtle?
Yo.
How you doing, brother?
Good.
Hey, I hear what everybody's saying. And, you know, being born and raised here in Atlanta all my life, you know, our expectations is crap. So That being said, whoever we hire, everybody's going to complain. Nobody's going to really be happy until somebody gets in here and performs. But the way I look at it, I was kind of disappointed at first, but listening to Nick Saban talk earlier tonight, he said about coaches either not being able to adjust to the analytics of the game. And then if teams going for fourth down a lot, you got to think about maybe the guys that you or other people wanted the guys to hire, they might not have wanted to come here to Atlanta. And you might have to take what's the best on the board with somebody you know, and that maybe instead of the guy being a yes guy, he might come in here and keep it real with Raheem. And being in here before coming back in, he might say, hey, he knows what needs to be done second time around in Atlanta.
Well, that's the hope, right? But my thing is, like, we'll never know. So to your point, we'll never know if the guys that I would have wanted in front of him didn't want the job. But I can't imagine that between Anarumo, Wilkes, and Martindale, that you think they would have went 0-3? You think none of those guys would have taken the job if they were offered?
No, but you might look at, even though Atlanta to us looks like the best job as a for a D coordinator, you know, these guys might also be looking for the future, because with ownership and everybody wanting your head after 1 year, these guys might be really looking for a head coaching job next after they get this next job. And if they come in with Raheem and mess up, you know, they're going to get axed like everybody. They're going to clean house again.
Or they might get the job. And I appreciate the phone call. We just got to run at 404-726-0929. Maybe they're the one to succeed him. You never know, right? Just depends on what Arthur Blank wants to do. Maybe the guy comes in, fixes the defense, the offense struggles, and they're like, hey, wait, we got Michael Penix. We got to get somebody in here to mold him. And they're like, but the defense did really well, so you could just park your butt right where it is. We'll never know, right? Great job on the phones, 404-726-0929. We'll come back. We'll give you our opinion on what we think is going to happen. Ohio State, Notre Dame. Oh, they're showing the Fox Theater right on ESPN right now. That's home. That's where I live. 404-726-0929. Back with you to wrap it up. Chris Thomas taking you up until 7:30. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Last chance for romance here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are mere moments away from the College Football National Championship getting underway. The Ohio State Buckeyes taking on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish right in our backyard. A little bittersweet, Dogs fans, I know. This could have been another year for another taste of glory, but team should be back next season rocking and rolling and ready to go, and we'll see if 2025 could be much like the back-to-back natties from a couple of years ago. Feels like a long time ago already, doesn't it? It's crazy how that works. 404-726-0929, as this game's about to get underway, let's hear from some of the key players before we get out of here. Let's start with Ryan Day. He says that in order to get here, they had to create their own momentum after that loss to you-know-who.
We say this in all the time, is that, you know, when you have momentum, you got to keep it. When you don't, you got to go get it. And, you know, we didn't have momentum at the end of the season. We had to create our own momentum. And then we started to build some momentum, and now we have to keep it. But I think the ability for our guys to sustain throughout the season has been significant here, and now it's got to be at the best. It's got to ramp up, and again, the goal is to play our best game and to finish the mission. But
yeah, and that's exactly what they need to do. They've been one of the hottest teams in the country, obviously, to get to the point where they are now, and they've done a really damn good job of it on both sides of the ball. And from a talent perspective, that's what I've been banging the drum on, hanging my hat on, is that Ohio State, quite frankly, is just, they're the more talented team. Ryan Day was also talking about his evaluation of the Fighting Irish.
Yeah, I think they do a great job on offense. Coach Denbrock's done a great job wherever he's been. Riley Leonard's an excellent leader. Jeremiah Love is one of the most talented backs we've gone against, and they have a very good offensive line. Evans is really good at tight end. They have multiple tight ends. Receivers are weapons. So, you know, they're gonna challenge us in a lot of different areas, and so we have to play Big Ten football. You know, that's what it's gonna look like, and you know, every play matters when you play in a game like this, and certainly against this team, it'll be the same way.
Yeah, Notre Dame obviously bringing that really strong defense with them despite a couple of key injuries along the front. We'll see if they can hold up against what's been sort of, again, as I talked about with Joe DeLeon to start the program, sort of an up-and-down rushing attack for the Buckeyes. One more from Coach Day. He was talking about, this is interesting, the first year of the 12-team playoff. How was he able to navigate it?
You know, a lot of things come into play when you make a run like this, injuries and just different things. So, you know, we'll look at it at the end of the year and figure out, you know, the adjustments that need to be made, I think, internally. But I also think that, you know, we all need to look at, you know, how this is playing and what this means, you know, playing 16 games. I think it's a great learning opportunity to see what that's going to look like moving forward. But I know it's been exciting for college football and for their fans.
And now they're talking about potential changes for next year. I mean, this thing is going to be really interesting to follow. I don't think they push it more than a couple more teams because we saw what those first-round matchups tended to look like, and I think you got to get more of a representative sample size before you start expanding to 16, 18, 20 teams and beyond. Dom, let's get some Notre Dame perspective in here before we get out of here. Again, Chris Thomas with you for a couple more minutes, leading you up until the start of what hopefully is a really, really fun national championship game, and I think it will be. Dom and I will make our final predictions here in just a second. Riley Leonard, this is funny, talking about meeting Will Howard a couple years back, and look at where we are now, man.
You know, we were both kind of underdogs at the time. We met 2 years ago, actually, at the Manning camp, and a lot of people counted us out. So to be where we are now kind of just turned that conversation into fruition, and it's really cool.
Yeah, that is really cool to see both of them, you know, transfer out and get to where they are now and find themselves leading their respective teams into a national championship. One more cup before we get out of here. Riley Leonard was talking about how he's going to defend or challenge or be challenged by that defense of OSU.
They know exactly who they are and what they do. They do a good job getting to the quarterback, setting picks, and, you know, landing home. In the secondary, you know, when you think of a stereotypical DB and what a good safety looks like, you know, they got it. You know, when you play in the national championship, you're going to play against great defenses, very fast, very skilled, and like I said, that they're very coachable and they know what they do.
All right, Dom, let's make a pick here. OSU all the way up to -9. Do you think they cover? More importantly, do you think they win?
You know what? I don't think they cover, and you know, give me Notre Dame money line, actually. I don't trust Ryan Day in big games. I think in these are the perfect games where he tends to kind of overthink, and we see him kind of get away from their strengths. So give me Notre Dame.
Interesting. I'm going to Riverside you here. Luckily, this doesn't count for anything. Otherwise, Dom might be in trouble like he was earlier in the season when he was picking some games for our buddy Oren Romaine on the night show picks. I'm going to take Ohio State, and I think they cover. I think this game's going to be something like 31-21 for a final. I just think it's a talent mismatch, and that's really what I've been saying, and that's what I'm going to stick with. This game, while Notre Dame certainly has a lot of great players, they wouldn't be in this position if they didn't. I just think top to bottom roster-wise, Ohio State's the team to beat. And this is going to be the game and the year that all the critics finally jump off Ryan Day's back. And I think Marcus Freeman will have no problem showcasing his coaching talents in years to come and wouldn't be shocked at all if he finds himself back in this one soon. All right, that'll do it for this edition of The Other Side of the Glass. Thanks to Dom C for producing and great job on the phones, as always, talking about the Falcons' new defensive coordinator. Everybody enjoy the game. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.